You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Roscoe, and welcome to the latest Kings of Anglia podcast special, where we chat and catch up with former Town players to talk about their time at Portland Road and much more. And today I'm joined by former Town youngster, Bailey Clements. My friend, thanks so much for joining me. How's things?
No worries. Thanks for having me on. I'm all good. Thank you.
That's good to hear. And yeah, obviously a local lad, always good to know how they're doing. Obviously recently signed for Kings Lynn Town, my friends, going back full time. How did that sort of come about?
Yeah, it happened very quickly. Manager got the job and within a couple of days he'd reached out to me and asked if that was something I'd be interested in. And I thought, having dropped down to part-time last year for the first time in my career, I was eager to get back into full-time and hopefully this will kickstart my career again.
That's good to hear, my friend. Yeah, how was that sort of process, you know, last year coming to drop down? Obviously, you're at Chesterfield and you're now Hornchurch, so you're doing a bit of a circle now, aren't you? Sort of getting yourself around, you know, coming away from Suffolk. You're now obviously in Norfolk with Kings Lynn, but was that a hard decision last year? Was it just, you had to just do that just to work your way back up?
Yeah, it was difficult. Obviously, having won the league with Chesterfield, I thought, all right, I'm not being kept on there, but I thought I'd definitely find a new club full-time at least in the National League. Nothing came up, so the next best option was to move a bit back closer to home if part-time and hopefully do as well as I can there to kick back on.
Yeah, definitely, man. How was last season for you? You know, I saw you were sort of in and out of the team, but, you know, obviously you're sort of just waiting for that moment.
Yeah, I had a couple of injuries, so I got injured 3 games into the season. Was on crutches for a little bit, so, and then in February, I then tore my ankle ligaments and broke my foot. So I've only just recovered from that recently, so it wasn't ideal. But yeah, when I was fit and available, I like to think whenever I played, I performed. And yeah, with the team, it was their first season at that level, so to finish 9th was a really strong season.
Yeah, very strong. And that's the thing, that's another side of football that maybe fans don't know about. Obviously, injuries are such a big thing. And to be out for so long and having to go through that and being part-time as well. Did you have to do anything on the side or did you, you know, were able to sort of balance it?
So I've been doing some coaching stuff on the side, which would have ideally been better for me if I could do that in the days, but it was mainly evening times. So if I had training, I tried to squeeze in as much as I could, but yeah, I got by with what I was doing, and then it was nice to open up a new venture for the future, possibly.
Yeah, definitely, my friend. Yeah, you're just saying you just come back from London doing your coaching badges, so obviously that's a good thing to have just as a sort of side thing, and obviously now you've gone full-time with Kings Lynn, and it sounds like there at the moment, a sort of new era is dawning there. Obviously got a new manager now, signing different players, obviously National League North, so a lot of travelling for you, my friend, next season.
Yeah, personally, I don't think it's much different. A Saturday is always your football day, so whether, well, last season at Hornchurch, I had Truro away and Torquay away. So there's plenty of long trips in that, just as much as the North. So obviously being higher up as well, playing this, we're at you for anywhere else. So on a Saturday is football day, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And as you said, you know, you want to kickstart your career. And what we'll do is sort of segue sort of to the start of a young Bailey Clements, my friend, you know, born in Ipswich. Obviously, your early memories of football, always like to ask this. Can you sort of remember that first time you sort of kicked a ball? Obviously, you got older brother, and did your, you know, other family members get you into it?
Yeah, obviously, football family. My dad was always managing around the SIL and stuff like that, so I was always growing up on a Saturday afternoon, Westerfield, places like that. So football was very heavy in my life from the start. Obviously, like you said, an older brother as well. Plenty of hours with him in the garden, at the park, wherever we could take a ball, really. So, yeah, lots of football from a very early age.
Definitely. So yeah, it was always destined to be, to play football. And can you remember when you first sort of joined the team? Obviously, how old is your older brother? How old is he? Like a few years older?
So he's just turned 28, so
Yeah.
he's 3.5 years older than me.
Yeah. So obviously, I'm sure he may be playing in a team before you. And did you sort of get that bug like you wanted to play for a team?
Yeah, definitely. It was like I'd watch him play. So if I, before I started playing, I'd go and watch his games. My dad was his manager, so me and my mum would be there. There was a couple of other brothers and sisters of players in the team that I'd have a kick around with while they were playing. So it was, yeah, I couldn't wait to get into a team once I was old enough.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously you joined the academy, if I'm right, at the age of 7. So how did that sort of come about? I know obviously that's more like, yeah, you'd come and train and stuff like that, but yeah, age of 7, that's very young.
Yeah, so I was at Woodbridge Town under 8, so from 7 and 8. Obviously got picked up by Scout, come offered me a place at the pre-academy, such come in once or twice a week. I can't remember what it is, but come in, train at the in the evenings, and then obviously at the end of that season, when the academy then starts properly, 8 years old into the under nines. Obviously impressed enough in the pre-academy sessions to then start and join in.
Yeah, and obviously you are a left back, and you can play different positions as well. But did you sort of play different positions during your early days? Or were you always like a fullback?
It's a weird one. Like everyone always says, oh, no one ever wants to be a fullback, but I did start out as a winger in seven aside at local level, and then as soon as I went to Ipswich, I got moved into the back two of the seven aside, so left sided defender. But straight away from 11 aside, I was a left back. I knew I felt more comfortable there. But as I've got older, I think I can do a job any wing back, left back, centre half, any of the jobs. I think I'm very adaptable to.
Yeah, and I sort of read, and you're obviously a local lad. You obviously watched Ipswich as a kid. Which sort of first team player did you sort of look up to?
I think my first memory of a first team player was Tommy Miller.
Yeah.
He was definitely my favourite light as a kid, not really understanding the game. He got me excited watching. Obviously, when I got a bit more older, it was more Murphy, McGoldrick kind of early teen years. And then obviously becoming a scholar or whatever, I got a chance to train with them kind of players. And I was like, wow, I watched these for however many years. So yeah, it was probably around that kind of era where I understood it more. They were my favourites.
Yeah, definitely. I think you just like players who can score goals or just has that little bit of swagger on the pitch. That's who you sort of look up to and stuff like that. And yeah, obviously you're at the academy for such a young age. Who were sort of in your, I know it's like Luke Woolford and Flynn Downes. Was there any other names to sort of chuck out who were in your like youth team growing
Yeah,
up?
Wolfie and Flynn, Andre Dalzell were all a couple of years above me. Tristan Nydam, year above me. And then my age, we had Tommy Hughes. From the start, I would say it was probably just us two who got all the way through. Kieran Ronan still playing. He was there from the start as well. So right from the beginning, there was a couple of us got all the way through.
That's good. And obviously there's a different route in academy for you because obviously you're a local lad. Obviously you get players who come over from Ireland or different places and they go and dig. So obviously you can probably live at home and what sort of, how was that dynamic?
Yeah, I'm quite lucky in that sense that most of the digs houses are further away from the training ground than my house. So I didn't have any issues with having to grow up early and move away from my parents and stuff like that. It was a nice dynamic to have because I like when they come over and staying in other people's houses, they're wanting to get out and do things in the evenings, go to the cinema and stuff like that. Whereas after a long day of training, I couldn't wait to just go and sit in my house. Whereas they'd feel like they'd be locked in their rooms kind of environment more so, because whereas I could sit on my sofa and do whatever I felt.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, it's obviously a big move for such young people coming over. But obviously for you, it's nice just to chill in your own house. And obviously you captained the youth sides as well. That must have been sort of another great moment for you, as an Ipswich lad to, captain a youth team.
Yeah, definitely. I remember the first real time it meant anything to me was captain, and we were under 15s. We played Tottenham at Portman Road, and walking out there thinking like it was the very first time a match I'd played at Portman Road. It was like, yeah, this is like great feeling, like weird feeling, very weird feeling. It almost doesn't feel real. I know it's in front of about 200 people when the stadium's 30,000, but having that experience of taking the team out behind me and being the captain was very surreal.
Was that the first time you played at Portman Road, or have you played there before?
No, that was what used to do the like training things like before the 16 showcase or whatever it was. So we'd have a few little minutes on the pitch throughout the years, but it wasn't. That was the first serious game.
Definitely. And then obviously you get an opportunity to sign your first professional contract. Can you remember that sort of day? Obviously you become a full academy player. I'm sure that's another great moment, getting a scholarship and become a full academy player. Actually, go back to that quickly. What's that moment like? When you're going to be in the training ground, every week, being Ipswich Town, youth player.
So I was lucky in the sense that I got offered my scholarship early. So didn't help with my schoolwork necessarily, but no, it was definitely a great feeling to obviously be honoured with that early. And then, yeah, knowing that I was going into a full-time environment at the club I've grown up supporting and loving, it was a very proud moment for me and my family. Being around players that I've watched, like I said earlier, a minute ago. Yeah, it was again a very surreal experience.
Yeah, because obviously you went to Northgate High School, if that's right. And can you remember it back then when you were at school? Was there anybody sort of saying, maybe you shouldn't look at being a footballer, maybe that have a plan B just in case? But did you always, in your mind, obviously you've got parents who are really, supportive, and obviously your older brother, football was always in your mind.
Yeah, no, a lot of my teachers were very supportive. I remember my maths teacher. He was a Sheffield Wednesday fan, so I always used to have good banter with him, but he was always very, oh, you're not going to make it, not going to make it, not going to be a footballer, there's no point, blah, blah, blah. In a jokey kind of way. I think he hoped that I did, but I think he was coming from a side of just be aware that you're not necessarily going to make it, although you are going to be a full time. So, yeah, it was. I had a lot of supportive teachers and a lot of people respected what I wanted to do. They could see that I was ambitious for that, so they believed in me as well.
That's good. And yeah, as I said, you go and sign your first professional contract. What's the memories of that when you sort of get told you're going to now sign a professional contract?
Yeah, so that was a similar situation. I got offered my first pro deal after a year of my scholarship. Remember it, Paul Hurst called me into the office and it was just a simple conversation. We'd like to offer you a contract. And I wasn't necessarily expecting it, but I had a great pre-season under him that year. Like I was a second year scholar training with the first team. Luckily, I'm naturally quite fit, so any running tests I perform well in. And then I think he just took a liking to me with my attitude and my qualities that I brought. So yeah, he rewarded me for my hard work.
That's good, because obviously you only just become the manager as well. Obviously, it didn't work out, unfortunately, for Paul. But what was he like, as a whole? Obviously, it didn't work out, as we said. But for him, that's you remember him because he gave you that professional contract.
No, exactly that. For me, he was a left back himself, so personally he gave me a lot of tips and advice on what I could work on, what I was doing well, how he saw the game. So personally for me, he was a massive help. Yeah, like you said, it didn't quite work out for him. I do possibly think if he had a little bit more time or if a couple of results just went his way, things might have turned, but obviously you can't predict what's going to happen. But yeah, no, for me personally, he was a massive help to me and a massive confidence boost in driving my career.
That's good to hear. And did you have any interactions with Mick then prior to him his departure? I know obviously you're in the sort of playing the under 23s and you're still a scholar, but yeah.
So Mick was obviously there my first year as a scholar. Great guy, really good guy, really. Pretty much all the managers, to be fair, in my time there were very open with the whole academy, and you'd see them at the games on the Saturday morning sometimes before they've got a game in themselves in the afternoon. So there was always the need to impress in your games. There was always a drive for everyone there. But yeah, Mick, obviously having been there however many years, he had the club exactly how he wanted to have it run, and it was a proper family kind of environment around the club. Everyone knew you, everyone respected him. So he was very much in charge, but a very much arm around the shoulder if you needed anything. So yeah, he was very, I didn't necessarily come and train with him as much then, but the few experiences I did have, he was a very good guy.
Yeah, and obviously Mick would have been the manager when you're probably still watching as maybe a fan.
Yeah, definitely. So,
Yeah.
growing up watching his football, and obviously I knew the way he wanted to play when I went in as a scholar, so I kind of used that possibly to my advantage a little bit to try and impress.
Yeah, definitely. And you obviously, yeah, well, you've seen the ticket holder and where did you sit at Portland Road?
Yeah, I was in the Bobby Robson upper. If you're in that end, you've got the comfy sit. Comfy seats right at the front. I was the row behind that, but I was quite lucky in them days. It wasn't full capacity, so we usually snuck down a row and had a bit of extra leg room.
Yeah, definitely a great view up there as well. And obviously, when you get into the academy, you obviously then get free tickets and you can sort of go with your teammates. When was that sort of transition? You're like, sorry, family, but I've got to now go with my teammate. Or did you still go as a senior
No,
going?
I've kept my season ticket for majority of my time there, obviously. Then when we I got to the older ages and I was 15, 16. I was playing on a Saturday, so sometimes
Awesome.
I got rid of the season ticket and I wasn't able to commit to it.
Yeah. Definitely. And there. So now you're a professional, contract man. And obviously, yeah, Paul Hurst is in. Then he obviously gets the sack. And then Paul Lambert comes in. What was that transition like? Now a new manager coming in. Another Paul.
It was definitely different. Obviously, Paul Hurst, having come in from lower leagues and building his way up, they definitely had different ideas. Whereas Lambert was had worked in the Premier League and at big clubs, so it was definitely different ideas and different ways that they wanted to run the club. But again, they were both very ambitious in what they wanted to do.
Yeah, and obviously in the end, relegation, it was sort of sleepwalking into relegation was sort of the phrase back then. As a player, it's not good. Obviously, as a fan as well, seeing Town, being the third tier for the first time in like 50, since the 50s, it must have been tough to take as a player, but also as a fan.
Yeah, definitely. I wasn't necessarily part of the squad when they got relegated. I was still in the youth kind of under 21s at the time, but being in the environment of them coming in every day, having lost on the weekend, you could see the environment change. It's not a nice environment. Obviously, demands are then raised because you're needing to get results, they're needing to get results. So anything then becomes heightened around the building if there's any mistakes of any kind. So it's almost a on edge environment where you're not wanting to slip up. And then that obviously then translates onto the pitch more so, I believe, because you're then playing with the thoughts of not wanting to make a mistake rather than going and showing what you can do.
Yeah, and obviously then it was League One, and in that period you obviously then training with the first team under Paul Lambert. What was your sort of relationship with Paul? Obviously he's a Scottishman. Obviously fair play to him. He had a very good career and a good career as manager. Obviously didn't really work out at Town either. But what was he like?
When he first came in, he obviously sat everyone down, talked about what he wanted to do. He set his standards from the off. And again, luckily for me, pre-season was a very strong point for me, especially as a younger kid. I could impress in the running, in the physical stuff. So I remember me and Amando got the call up to Germany the day before they were supposed to go. So that was another trip where it was a bit out of the blue, and suddenly I was on the plane to Germany the next day with the first team squad, and I was a bit like, oh, now it's a bit more real because I'm a little bit older. I think I've got a bit of a chance here. Maybe I can nick a few cup games.
Yeah, and I remember that pre-season. I actually went to Germany, and I don't know if you, because it was outskirts of Germany. It was like one of those the hotel that had no, like nothing there.
Absolutely middle of nowhere, no Wi-Fi, no civilization for about half an hour wherever you were going.
Yeah, it was crazy, and obviously the first team obviously had some characters in there who sort of helped you, when you sort of coming through there.
Yeah, your obvious two answers would be Luke Chambers and Cole Skuse. Club captain and vice captain, they were both very, very different characters. Chambo was very much in your face, have a laugh, make you feel welcome to the group. Obviously, coming up, you don't want to be all a bit nervous, like you want to get involved in things. So Chambo was very good at that. And then Scoosie, very, very good at just having a quiet word with you, checking you're okay, asking how your family, friends are, and bringing you in that kind of more of an emotional kind of sense. So they bounced off each other very well.
Yeah, very much so. And obviously, Cole is the one who's gone into management. And then obviously, Luke's doing more of his punditry and stuff like that. Obviously, doing a really good job at Bury Town, Cole. And yeah, you're obviously on the bench on the opening day against Burton. That must have been a great moment for you. Another thing for the family as well. Okay, you didn't come off the bench, but you're still on the bench in a competitive game.
Yeah, exactly that. Again, wasn't expecting it. Could never. I don't think I ever expected anything to happen in my time when I was at the club. So yeah, getting named on the bench, I got into the change room, saw my shirt was up. I thought, oh, I'll be the 19th man. So I've travelled. Like, I'm happy with that. I named on the bench, and I was like, oh, right, better dive in here just in case I do come on. But no, unfortunately, it didn't happen. But yeah, very, very, again, surreal experience to be named on the bench.
Yeah, but it wasn't that long for you to get your debut in the cup against Luton. Obviously, unfortunately, it was a defeat. But still, you don't want to make your debut. You want to win. But you're still sort of now ticking off different milestones in your career. On the bench for the first time, now making your debut.
Yeah, exactly like you say, it wasn't the prettiest game to be involved in. Definitely got ran around a bit that day. Obviously, them having gone up with momentum and us having come down without it, it was a very tough game. But again, coming off the pitch then after that, as disappointed as I was that I personally struggled probably, and as a team we struggled, I couldn't have been prouder of myself because I've just played my first competitive game for the team I support, the team I follow, the team and town I love.
Definitely, mate. And obviously, you're starting as well. You're not like making like a 5-minute cameo. You're starting in a game. And obviously, Dobra, Armando, obviously made his debut in that game and scored. Obviously, it's consolation in the end, but that must have been nice to sort of, be playing the same game in your debut with your sort of, young teammate.
Yeah, exactly that. So he's another one who's my age. He obviously joined a bit later, but yeah, having him in front of me probably kind of helped with the nerves of playing, having someone that I've played with for a good 3, 4 years next to me or in front of me. So yeah, it probably did help, and yeah, I was happy for him obviously when he scored. Although it was consolation, I know he's got a very close family as well, so they would have been very proud of him.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to quickly ask, do you sort of get told, about your squad number? I don't know if you care much about squad numbers. I don't know how, I know there's a big debate, with fans. They love to know about squad numbers. Did you sort of get told, like, you're going to be getting this number and could you choose? Obviously, there's probably not as much numbers free because obviously it's been taken a lot from the main first team. But when you're coming in as a youth player, did you get sort of told, okay, these are what's available?
Yeah, so that's what you get told. You get told, I don't know, 40 to 50 are available. What do you want? So it's not exactly a great selection unless you've got specific number that you'd like, but yeah, I remember I think I just kind of said I'm happy with whatever, I'm not too fussed, and got given 46, I believe it was. So yeah, I'm not, there was no meaning to it or anything. I just got what I was given. I wasn't really thinking about what number I'd like. I don't think it meant that much to me.
No. Did you keep hold of that shirt though? Because obviously it is your debut. I know that's obviously not a memorable sort of result, but as I said, you know, it's still your first team debut. Have you kept that?
Yeah, I've kept every shirt of any significant meaning, whether it be debut in any competition.
Yeah, it's great. That's good to have. And then obviously going out on loan is probably the next step. Obviously, you want to sort of break into the first team, but at the time, obviously, Paul Lambert was trying to get this team back to the championship. But you go out on loan, that must have been good just to get proper men's football.
Yeah, well, I went out on loan, but it didn't exactly go to plan. I didn't play any minutes, so out
Yeah.
to Dagenham. Weirdly, though, I absolutely loved my time there. It was a different experience. I moved kind of away from home. I came home on my days off, but I lived in a flat down there with a couple of the other lads. Obviously, intended to play, didn't play, so came back in the Christmas time. But yeah, I love my time there. The players, the manager. It was also a bit of a weird time because it was COVID time.
Yeah.
So I didn't get the full experience possibly, which also didn't help. But yeah, no, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Why didn't you play? Is it just obviously at the time that, you know, maybe form wise for the club or, you know, what sort of was going on?
Yeah, I think because I was only 18 when I went there, I think it was, I think they were expecting to be higher up in the league that they were than they were. So possibly throwing an 18-year-old in for the manager wouldn't have necessarily looked good if it went wrong. He did say that to me at the time. I think I don't want to chuck you in, don't want to put the pressure on you. But I was like, I want the pressure. I'm here to play. I'm not here to sit on the bench, be in the stands. I want to try and help. But yeah, sadly, it never swung around for me.
Yeah, that's a shame. And in a way, that can sort of stop the progress you're making because, you know, you're not playing. You know, you'll be wanting to play, you know, obviously the under 21s. You know, during that period, you've got that whole year there where obviously you're sort of not playing any sort of men's football. How is that as a player? You know, you're sort of wanting to go out on loan or maybe play games, but you just can't get that opportunity.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I'm sure every player will say that if you're not playing, you're very frustrated. So yeah, during the half the season, I couldn't wait to get back just to play under 21s, which I'd done for the previous 2 years. Like I almost got to a stage where that was becoming not a challenge for me, not my next step. My next step was to go out on loan and play. So yeah, having not played, it was very frustrating, but there's nothing you can personally do about it other than try your best every day.
Yeah. And obviously during the period, you know, at Town, you know, obviously we're still in League One. We just couldn't get out of the league. We were there obviously 4 years in total. And obviously Paul Lambert does get the sack. Can you remember that sort of day when you knew he was going to be leaving? Obviously he was sort of, I hate to say it, a dead man walking for a while because obviously there was a lot of things going on. Obviously COVID, obviously it wasn't good times at Town. But can you sort of remember that day when as a player, you know, getting told another manager is going to be going?
Yeah, it was a very weird situation, I think, for everybody at the club, especially after him just signing the new deal. So from a perspective of a fan and player, we were all kind of in the same boat that it was totally out of the blue because he just committed himself to 5 more years. So yeah, it was very, oh, what's happening now then? Because it was very out of the blue, didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah, and obviously there was new ownership coming in as well. Well, I think he was sort of knowing about it, but there obviously a new era was dawning. You know, the Americans coming over. What was that like as a player, knowing that the club are now going to be under a new ownership?
Yeah, obviously, it was, you don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, ownership goes a bit above the players' level in terms of knowing what's going to happen, what's going on. behind the scenes. You just kind of turn up and do what you're told to do. So not much probably changed from a playing perspective, but to see that they were coming in with all these ambitions of where they wanted to take the club and where they have taken the club. Yeah, it was exciting.
Definitely. And did you any opportunity, when did you ever get in contact with your maths teacher? That, like, when you're saying, because I know you sort of made a few appearances now for town. Was he still at the school when you were sort of making those appearances?
I sadly never have, no.
No.
Would have been good to, I don't know if he's still there or not. Would have been good to get in contact with him and just say, hello, how are you? I'm sure he'd have quite enjoyed it, but no, I never got back in contact.
No, that's fine, that's fine. And obviously then another Paul comes in. So Paul Hurst, well, we had Paul Jewell as well previously, then we had Paul Hurst, then Paul Lambert, and now Paul Cook comes in. Another great character. Can you remember that day? Obviously you're still in the sort of the academy, but did you sort of meet him at all in those early days?
Not really. So I'd kind of fully dropped out of the first team picture when he came in, under the end of Lambert's regime. He obviously decided that I wasn't necessarily for him, so was kind of just pretty much back in the under 21s, grafting away. I was out of contract at the end of that summer, so for me it was kind of maybe a blessing in disguise that Paul Cook did come in, because I think he left the decisions of contracts to the academy staff, and having been there so long and them knowing exactly who I was, how I was as a person, I think that helped me get a new contract come the end of the season. But yeah, I didn't necessarily have much to do with Paul Cook as he first came in.
Yeah, because he had obviously a lot of work to do, and obviously it was a new ownership coming in, so I'm sure they were trying to do a lot of things with the infrastructure and everything at the club. Obviously, Mark Ashton comes in, and then that summer was mental because there was 19 summer signings. Obviously, Demolition Man was Paul Cook's sort of nickname. Can you sort of, like, obviously, I'm sure you got a lot of family and friends who are obviously Town fans, and obviously they know what was going on. But 19 summer signings. And obviously, a lot of players leaving. You know, obviously, Chambo, your captain, leaving. That must have been a weird feeling that these players you've been with for a long time are departing.
Yeah, very, very strange having basically the whole squad ripped apart. But then again, another thing fell in my favour. First day of pre-season, I think there was about five players. So pretty much the majority of the under-21s team went over to train with the first team. So that again got me in the door with a new manager. Again, another pre-season where I've got myself in great condition, ready to go. He's took a liking to myself. So this is now the third manager as such that I've impressed in front of in pre-season. Yeah, and gradually the players came in one by one. The 21s started to filter out of the first team training, but I managed to stick in there.
Yeah, you were probably hoping, please don't sign on left back. Please don't sign on left back. And obviously, he does go and sign a few left backs. But yeah, 19 summer signings. That must have been just, yeah, a whirlwind. And obviously, I'm sure the car park was empty. And by the end of the summer window, it was full of cars. But yeah, that must have been like you thought maybe have a chance to maybe play under Paul in those early days, but it just didn't work out in the end.
Yeah, no, I still looked at it. I was only 20 when he came in. He obviously signed Matt Penny and Hayden Coulson. Miles Kenlock was still in the building as well, so I technically was fourth choice left back still at the club. So I thought, oh, if I can again get out on loan, or if I'm staying, I'm gonna nick a few cup games. But yeah, I wasn't necessarily looking to go and be number one playing every week in, week out.
Yeah, obviously you do get the opportunity though, because obviously there's injuries, and you make your league debut against Oxford at Portman Road. So now you're made your competitive debut point, because obviously you played there many times for the under-21s and the youth teams, but sort of making your league debut against Oxford, of course, clean sheet, you know, a goalless draw, not the most prettiest of games, I have to admit, but that must have been a proud moment for you though, making your league debut at Portman Road and getting a clean sheet.
Yeah, exactly. again, the situation like you say, so injuries helped me out. I think as well that year Miles wasn't registered to play in the league, so he was getting the cup games, which killed me a bit, but then it also opened up the opportunity for myself to get into the league fixture. So yeah, that day again is it all the proud moments that me and my family had building up to that was then just raised again, and it was absolutely tops. I couldn't be any more proud of myself and for my family.
Yeah, really good game. And can you remember sort of Paul sort of telling you what to do in that game? And sort of, after that as well, I know there was some, I think some quotes from Lee Evans after the game. Obviously, he was captain for that one, who obviously praised you as well. That must have been nice to hear from a senior pro and obviously your manager.
Yeah, exactly that. Having gone in, like I've personally felt, not necessarily thinking about it when you're on the pitch, but when I finally came off it, I was like, I've done all right there. I've not done too badly. Like you say, clean sheet, defender. Not my job to score, so if I can keep him out. And again, I think Oxford's winger that day was Mark Sykes, who has had a lot of hype around him as well at that time. So for me personally, to keep him fairly quiet on my debut, like big day, big nerves, I think I dealt with it all really well. And yeah, I like to say, comments from Evo, he was another guy who come in, was really outgoing for everybody around the club. Great, great guy. Looked after everybody, wanted the best for everyone. So yeah, any positive comments I received after that game, even Carl Robinson on the pitch came up to me after and was praising me for how well I did. So I took that as very, very big confidence, because you don't really necessarily adjust and think, oh, how have I played while I was still on the pitch? And not even after the game, it took a couple of days to sink in till I actually watched it back and reviewed it. Yeah, I did do all right.
Did very well, my friend. And obviously, it was a sort of whirlwind because obviously, you played a lot of games in that period because obviously, you actually played against Colchester the sort of the Tuesday before. I think I've actually looked. And then you then play Oldham in the FA Cup replay, which was not what we needed because we couldn't beat them in the first game. But obviously, you go there and win 2-1. I think Idris scored an absolute worldie of a goal to win it. But now you're sort of back-to-back games starting.
Yeah, exactly that. So the Colchester game was an opener for me. Miles came off ill at half time again, so I probably wouldn't have came on in that had he been fit and healthy. I took my opportunity, obviously done well in that in the half that I got, and that obviously allowed Paul Cook to have the trust in me to go in on the Saturday. Done well again, and then yeah, that got the ball rolling, and I'm quite happy, to be fair, that we got a replay at Oldham, because that then meant that I have played for town in every competition available, league, cup, and the Papa John's at that time. So yeah, although it wasn't a pleasant trip or game again, it was the only FA Cup game I played for Ipswich, so to have now played in every competition, I basically ticked every box.
That's a great stat, to be fair. Yeah, I'd never thought of that. That's actually really good. So yeah, and obviously most of them have been, not bad results. Maybe the Carabao Cup game, we'll scratch that, but still, you say you've done that, which is great. And obviously then you got a trip to Stadium Alight. Obviously, sadly it was a defeat, but you're playing in a big stadium like Stadium Alight. What was that experience like? And yeah, unfortunately a defeat in the end, but obviously Sunderland were had some good players.
Yeah, so by then, to be fair, although it was only a couple of games that after I'd been put into the team, I felt really comfortable. I felt as though I was part of the team, and that's a credit to the manager and the players for getting me involved, making me feel part of it. Yeah, the big occasion, I'm quite a relaxed character. I'm not never too high, never too low kind of person. So going there, big stadium, it was weird because it felt like fairly empty. And then they read out the attendance and it's like 38,000, and I'm like, not sure about that, but the atmosphere was still electric and still buzzing around you. But yeah, it was, I felt very comfortable, and it was a disappointing game more than anything because we should have won. Obviously, it was two late goals. One was a penalty that wasn't, but the amount of chances we created in the first half, especially, we could have, should have probably been 2-0 up at half time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's just that was the story of that season in a way. We were just so close, but just too far away in the end. And obviously, Paul Cook was the word was time to gel, because that team was needing the time to gel. That was the phrase a lot of people hated to say, but it was the thing. Because obviously, it was 19 different players having to come in. Which sort of those first team players, you know, they've got some great characters, and obviously, some of those players obviously still in the team now, and obviously been part of this amazing journey. You know, Connor Chaplin to Sam Morsy, who sort of were you sort of close to, and you know, just going through that time.
Yeah, big one for me was probably Genoa. So I remember that the first time I ever travelled to a first team game was Swansea away under Paul Hurst when we won 3-2, and I sat next to Genoa on the bus, and obviously that was my first real time of being around the first team squad, and he was just top class with me, like so asking questions about me, wanting to get to know me as a young kid, and it was like, he actually does care about me. Obviously, everyone was top class. There wasn't any bad people in that team, and I think that's a credit to Paul Cook, because even when I went up to Chesterfield, he then built the same. His change room was unbelievable. No bad people in it. So, yeah, I could rattle off a couple of names, but in as a whole, it was a great team.
Yeah, very true. And obviously, it proved it because of what they went on to do. Obviously, there's some other players signed that Kieran McKenna brought in, but in terms of the Paul Cook, you know, some of the players he did bring, it was obviously a very good thing. And obviously, you go and play a game against Rotherham. Won't talk about that because they always were rubbish games against them. But you do, you know, have an appearance in a win at Portman Road. Obviously, the game against Crewe. That must have been nice. I would sort of tick off your list of Ipswich Town appearances, getting a win at Portman Road in a competitive game.
Yeah, exactly that. I've played all these games, obviously managed to scrape a win against Oldham, but yeah, to win at Portman Road in the league, it was probably a bit less comfortable than it should have been. But yeah, that just ticked off any final thing that I hadn't completed or achieved so far. So yeah, it was again another achievement.
Yeah, and obviously Selena scored an absolute worldie in that game. Can you remember sort of watching that?
Yeah, obviously, Fridge had the ball, George Edmondson. I'm obviously just next to him, waiting for him to pass to me. He slaps it over the top, and I'm like, all right, better get up. And the next thing I know, I'm walking back for kickoff because Santi's just put it in the top corner with an outrageous chip. And I'm like, that is the best goal I've ever seen whilst playing on a football pitch. It was just like, the vision to do that was, how have you even seen to do that? I wouldn't even be thinking about that in my head. So yeah, it was weird goal because it was so outrageous.
It was, yeah, it was incredible. And obviously, Selena was such a great player, but sometimes I know he frustrated some fans. Like, what was he like, you know, as a bloke as well? Because obviously, he's through the Man City youth team. Obviously, he was a loanee prior to this, but I don't think many people know about much about Selena, sort of maybe sort of behind the scenes.
Yeah, I can't say I know too much either. He was a fairly quiet guy. Like, there was no, he was polite, a nice guy. I can't say I was too close to him. But yeah, I think he kept himself to himself, more away from the training ground. But yeah, I don't know him too well to say he was this or that. But from what I got from him, he was always pleasant, nice guy to speak to, just fairly quiet.
Yeah, I think he's just a sort of grounded sort of, you know, lad who just, you know, just loves his football and just wants to, you know, be as best he can pretty much. And obviously you play in Paul Cook's final game against Barrow, which was dreadful. But it was just one of those games. Obviously Barrow came here to try to get a result, and obviously in the end it was a draw. But that was a and crazy sort of afterwards, because he obviously gets the sack. That must have been surprising potentially for you with players.
Yeah, obviously we knew the results necessarily weren't good enough for what was required. But yeah, I don't think anyone thought it was going to happen then, especially having, like you say, 19 players coming in. It does take time. And I think, again, I know you want instant success from it, but you look at many of the best teams, the managers need 2, 3, 4 years before they actually build what they want their team to be. And obviously, yeah, McKenna obviously coming in, inherited a squad that was pretty settled, and he's obviously added his players to it and his flavour as such to it to then build. But yeah, going back to the Barry game, wasn't a pretty game at all, but it was normal team talk after. And then yeah, I got home that evening and I see it on Twitter. It was a bit like, oh, again, similar to the Paul Lambert experience of, well, that shouldn't have happened. That's not meant to happen, but it did. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure the group chat, the players' group chat, just went crazy. Like, what is going on? Because obviously he had just signed 19 players. Obviously, a lot of them, I think, in the end were just some of them were loanees and obviously left it eventually. But it must have been a weird feeling, like, oh, the manager that brought me in is now gone, and a new manager comes in, I may not have a future here.
That's the thing, a lot of the players that he brought in, the core of them were all players that he'd had previously, so that they knew that was the pull of coming to Ipswich as well as the club. They knew they were playing for a manager that they knew liked them. So yeah, obviously having about 4 months or 5 months and him going, it leaves everybody in the unknown of, it's a fresh page again. Everyone's got to restart, and you don't know where you stand with a new manager coming in.
And obviously that new manager was Kieran McKenna. And obviously he'd been assistant manager at Man United, but I think there was a lot of fans thinking, who? And obviously there was a lot of going, I don't know, this could backfire, but obviously it hasn't backfired. But as a player, you're seeing a sort of manager who's sort of worked with youth players, who's had a great time at Man United. What were you like thinking when he came in?
Yeah, no, obviously I was excited. I'd heard good things about other coaches from him. And unfortunately, I got injured in the Barry game, so I did my back. So that wasn't good timing for me. When his first day he came in, the first time I met him, I was on the physio bed with the physio bed with my head through the table. I was like, I think I had needles in my back at the time, so I couldn't exactly like, I was kind of trying to lift my head up to say hello. I was like, this is not exactly the best way I wanted to meet the new manager. It's not the best first impression to give myself. But no, when I got back fit and I got training, you could see why he'd been brought in, and you could see his vision and how clear and how detailed his sessions were to what he wanted to produce.
And then obviously was there a conversation that, because you obviously went out on loan to Stevenage, was there just that conversation from McKenna saying that, I've got to try to get this team in the playoffs? Obviously in the end we didn't. Were you okay with that? Because you've just been playing first team football, but obviously you just got injured. Obviously I think they brought in Dominic Thompson and a few other players as well. But did you just feel you're maybe disappointed that you weren't going to be maybe fought in the first team, or do you think a loan was needed?
Yeah, I definitely was disappointed because having broken in, I feel, although the team wasn't necessarily doing well, the performances I did for myself, I think I made a good account for myself. I don't think I ever, maybe the Rotherham game, I struggled a little bit, but that was more of a physicality thing. I was still a kid physically. But yeah, I think obviously I understood his perspective. He was open with me. He had a chat. He said, look, like you say, I need to get this team in the playoffs. We'll be bringing somebody in January. You probably won't be playing. I was like, yeah, that's fine. That's open and honest with me. That's all you can ask for from a manager, to be fair. So yeah, as soon as he told me that, I knew I needed to get a loan, because going back to the under 21s again wouldn't have been any use for me.
Definitely. And Stevenage, that was a good move. I think they were League Two at the time. Obviously, Paul Tisdale was the manager. But annoyingly, he I think gets the sacked a month into it or something. And then you get Steve Evans. Big Steve Evans. What was he like in that spell as a whole at Stevenage?
So obviously, Paul Tisdale signed me, sold me his plan. They were obviously battling relegation. So to go in there, I thought, right, this is a good opportunity. You're playing for something at the end of the season. This wasn't going to a mid-table team who necessarily didn't have anything to play for. Going in there, played a few games at the start, was enjoying it. He then gets the sack. And to be fair, a couple of games leading up to him getting the sack, he took me out of the team because I think he was scrambling at that point. He was changing it here, there and everywhere to try and find something to get the results. Steve Evans came in and it rapidly went downhill from there.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I've heard different stories about Steve Evans. I'm sure a different character to Kieran McKenna.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to speak ill of somebody on here, but I don't know whether he took a liking to me. I don't think he did from what I was received back off him. So, yeah, it just didn't work out either way.
Yeah, and you're probably not alone there in terms of, once again, you're a lone player as well. And obviously when a new manager comes in at a club and they see a lone player, I didn't sign you, so see you later, mate, which is a shame, but it is what it is. And then obviously you come back to town, but obviously you get told you're going to get released. Did you sort of knew that prior when you're still on loan? Did you sort of get told you maybe your service is probably going to be up?
Yeah, I kind of expected it, obviously. Not initially when I went out on loan, because I thought if I go do really well here, I was only 21 still. If I go and do well, rip it up here, I go back, I can get a new deal or whatever. Maybe then impress in the pre-season, maybe then get another loan. Maybe next year if the club did then go up. But the longer the loan went on, I think it's fairly obvious that with the Americans coming in as well, the budget obviously went up and the desire to go up became stronger because of another year in League One. The club needed to go out of the league. So, yeah, replacing me with Leif Davis wasn't exactly a bad bit of business in the end for the club. I was kind of expecting it.
Yeah, Leaf was all right. It was fine. But that must have been a sort of sad moment, though. Sort of, ending your time at Town. But as you said, you sort of, good that wasn't just out of nowhere. It sort of, you felt like it was coming and it wasn't just like you get phone calls, say, yeah, see you later, Bailey, you're going. But like you sort of knew it was coming. And as you said, it was a new era at the club.
Yeah. Probably weirdly didn't feel as sad as it probably should have, maybe, because I was possibly more waiting for it to happen rather than thinking, is it going to happen? But also, I knew I wasn't going to be playing there. So from my perspective, it wasn't sad. It was happy almost, because it gave me an opportunity to go out and play, which I needed to do. So it was sad, but it wasn't, because I needed to become a man and needed to start my career properly.
That's the thing, because, yeah, obviously it's sort of your dream to play for Ipswich Town and you've done that, but you want to make sure you have a career yourself. Obviously a lot of people, they try to stay at a club for as long as they can, but for you, you moved on and then you reunite with Paul Cook at Chesterfield. Was that pretty quick?
Fairly, yeah. Obviously, he got the job there. He took Gary Roberts with him. I messaged Robbo. I said, oh, Robbo, obviously out of contract here now. If you're looking for a left back, let me know. So he replied back pretty swiftly. Hi, we'll keep in touch or whatever. I'll let you know within a couple of weeks. I was on my way up there to sign the contract. So fairly swiftly, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously you're moving away probably for the first time properly as well, I assume. You moved up to near Chesterfield.
Yeah, so I was quite lucky, to be fair. So my girlfriend luckily got family up there. So when I initially moved up, I moved in with them, which gave me a bit of time to find a place for myself.
Yeah, and obviously now you are becoming a man because you're sort of moving away. Were you already out of your sort of parents at that point? Did you have your own apartment at that stage?
No, still at home with them. I've managed to work my way back in now. But yeah, I needed to move out and become a man, like you say.
Definitely, and obviously National League, and obviously Chesterfield were, very ambitious because obviously they'd been a Football League club for so long. And in your first season there, obviously it was playoff defeat at Wembley. Okay, it was defeat at Wembley, but playing at that sort of stadium, I'm sure that was a sort of another dream come true.
Exactly that. The biggest stadium, the best stadium that you can possibly play at as an English person, in front of 40,000 people. It was a dream come true. That was probably more exciting for me than playing at Portman Road for the first time in a competitive game, just because not everybody gets the opportunity to play at Wembley. A lot more people will have played at Portman Road than they will have at Wembley. So to get that opportunity at such a young age as well, it was very, very exciting. I think I can remember standing on the lineup, waiting for the songs or whatever to come on, ready for the handshake, look up, see my family, they're all there. It was a very, very exciting moment.
Yeah, I can imagine. And yeah, I've played at Portman Road a few times and I'm just, an average footballer. So there we go. It sort of that proves that, yeah, Wembley probably a bit too far away from me, but you never know. Still can dream.
Always.
Yeah, definitely, mate. And yeah, so reuniting with Paul Cook. And obviously, you go and get loaned out to Eastleigh. What sort of how did that sort of come about? Was that just to play more games? Obviously.
It was again very unfortunate timing. So I've either had extreme luck or extreme bad luck in my career, it seems. So again, I had a cracking pre-season. We played both Sheffield clubs and Derby in pre-season. Done unbelievably in all of them games. Was like I feel like I'd nailed down my spot. Then I got injured week before the season started. I tore my quad. So I was then out for 8 weeks with that. By the time I come back, I think the team had maybe lost one game in about 12. They were winning every week, so again, good open, honest conversation with the manager. He was like, "I'm not going to change my team here because we're winning every week." I was like, "Yeah, that's totally understandable." Obviously, hadn't had any conversations with him while I was focused on getting back fit. But once I was back fit, he mentioned about a loan, just an initial 1 month to go and get myself match fit again, ready to come back. But obviously, I went down to Eastleigh and the team kept winning, so there was no reason for me to necessarily come back because he wasn't going to change it.
Yeah, and obviously another you're travelling to another place now because so Chesterfield are now down south to Eastleigh. But you do obviously come back to Chesterfield and obviously help them win the title. So that must have been nice though to sort of be back at Chesterfield and sort of be part of this team. And obviously Dobra's there as well, sort of get win promotion.
Yeah, so I was almost given an ultimatum at my end time of Eastleigh. We'd got to the second round of the FA Cup. We had Newport, managed to get a replay, and third round was drawn against Man United. So Chesterfield were in contact with me, said, "If you beat Newport, we're going to let you stay at Eastleigh to have the game against Man U. If you don't beat them, you'll come back here." So it was kind of a win-win situation. Experience-wise, would have been good to play Man U, but career-wise, was better to go back to Chesterfield. So we obviously lost to Newport. I got called back, I think it was literally the day after. And yeah, I managed to get 10 games come the end of the season. We played some pretty important games I managed to be involved in. We played Barnet and Bromley, second and third in the league. So yeah, to actually play my part in it, to although the team were probably, I think, about 15 points clear by the time I'd gone back, we extended it when in my time that we got back, that I got back. So yeah, to actually play a part and feel a part of it, it was very, very good feeling again.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you still got a winner's medal. You still, you know, was part of it. I know you said they're sort of running away the league at that stage, but they still had to sort of make sure, just make sure. You never know. Could go on a bad run, but that must have been nice, though, to sort of lift the trophy.
Yeah, exactly. It was definitely for a promotion. So I've now played in 2 years at Chesterfield. I've played at Wembley and got a promotion on my CV. So yeah, it was a great feeling. Obviously, it was known that it was coming for a while. We'd won the league with about five games to play. So yeah, it was possibly not as exciting as it should have been, but it was still a great experience.
Definitely, mate. And I don't want to take too much more of your time up, but I want to quickly just talk about sort of your journey since then. Obviously, as we said at the start of the chat, and obviously you've seen Ipswich Town do what they've done. I'm sure as a fan, it's been sort of lovely to sort of see that. And you know, obviously some of those players who have done that were your teammates as well. What's that been watching that from afar?
Yeah, obviously absolutely buzzing for the club. Having been a fan all my life, we never really had any success in terms of mid-table championship. The playoff campaign was really as high as it got for me as a fan growing up. So obviously now seeing us in the Premier League is a very, very different feeling. It's a very, very exciting feeling for younger fans as well, I bet. And obviously for the older fans that would probably say they've suffered for many, many years. But yeah, the club's gone in the right direction, the direction that it needed to go. So I'm just happy for everybody at the club, all ex-teammates, all new players, all staff. You can't complain with the job that anybody's done to get them where they are now.
Definitely, my friend. And obviously now at King's Lynn, sort of now time to sort of platform to resurrect your career. How are you feeling for next season? And you know, a big season for King's Lynn. Obviously got in the playoffs last season. New manager now though, new players coming in. Yeah, you looking forward to it?
Yeah, can't wait to get going. Obviously, getting back into full time, getting back into the rhythm of it. I can't wait to just hopefully get playing games again and stay injury free, touch wood, and just kick on again from where I've been before.
That's good to hear, mate. And final one as well. Any advice for any young footballers maybe listening to this who are in academies or looking to get into academy? Because you're obviously joining the academy at age 7. So any advice for them breaking through?
Yeah, never stop believing. Obviously, there's been plenty of times in my career, especially in my time at Ipswich, where I'm out of contract at an end of a season. I think it's all over. I get another year. I take that opportunity. You've got to grasp every opportunity with both hands that you get given, because as much as you may get opportunities, you can have opportunities taken away from you as well. So never stop believing and grasp every opportunity with both hands.
Love to hear it, my friend. Well, perfect way to end it. Thank you so much, mate.
Cheers, Ross. Thank you.